In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our strategic plan of 2019, we shared a common vision: to become more Christ-like in everything that we do, making a difference to Midtown Manhattan by being a vibrant community of faith where all can feel at home. Our beautiful building and musical tradition help us to reach out as a beacon of hope. Father Mead, my predecessor, spoke about that vision when he preached to us for our bicentennial patronal feast a few weeks ago. Commenting on this glorious building, its mission, its liturgy, its music, and its teaching, Father Mead reminded us that it remains our mission to invite and to draw people into that life-giving mystery. If you attended our annual meeting on Thursday, or joined us online, or you can watch it online, it's still there if you go to the website, you will have heard how, in spite of the pandemic, our mission has been strong, our work collegial. And the very last words of our vision statement are the theme for all the services today. To do this, we need to ensure that our mission is strong, resolute, ordered, and appropriately resourced. What do the scriptures tell us about resourcing the church in its mission? We start with the epistle reading we heard today. The New Testament church had no official buildings. It was a church on the move, very much focused in people's homes. It would be 300 more years before basilicas appeared. Does that mean they had no need for financial support? On the contrary, in the Acts of the Apostles, we read that the early followers of Jesus shared all that they had in common in order to help those in need, the widows, the orphans, the poor, the hungry. But they also sent funds to other churches in need. If you like, it was the origins of the parish assessment that we now give to the diocese. Paul regularly shared the needs of particular churches and peoples many, many hundreds of miles away, and the churches sent resources to help them. The ministry of the apostles and the early deacons of the church was also supported financially by church members who gave generously according to their means, so that those early ministers could devote all of their time to preaching the gospel and caring for the fledgling church. Notice what Paul says to the church in Corinth: "You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity." It kind of seems counterintuitive. How can you be enriched if you're giving away your riches? But from the earliest days of the church, being generous to the mission of the church was seen as a liberating experience rooted in thankfulness to God for his generosity. So resourcing the mission and ministry of the church is very biblical. And it's very, very, very old. Let's go to our Old Testament lesson today, a wonderful reading from the first book of Chronicles, in which we heard King David making resources available so his son, Solomon, would be able to build the first temple. In what is probably the most successful annual appeal ever, King David asked the leaders of the ancestral houses to give generously and willingly. Yes, he called it a free will offering, not a tax on them, not even a demand, a free will offering, a gift to God. And what a gift it was. The list of the tens and hundreds of thousands of talents of silver and gold and bronze and iron. And it's hard for us to understand what they mean by talent. Remember, a talent in the Bible times was actually a unit of measurement of how you weighed precious metal. One drachma was about 6 grams of silver. 100 drachma in a mina. 60 minas in a talent. So if you do the math, you realize that a talent was about 870-something pounds in weight. No wonder they could cover the walls of the temple inside with gold. And David ensured not only that the temple would be built and be fabulous to God, but that there would be enough endowment in the treasury for its upkeep and for the provision of its ministers. And after he'd done all this, did he sit back, pat himself on the back for being such a good fundraiser? Listen to how David ended his prayer. "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to make this free will offering? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you." That's why they gave. That's why in the early church people gave. That's why we give now, because it all comes from God in the first place. That's where the biblical tithe comes from. The first 10% of everything given back to God, because God has given it to us in the first place. It's a means of sharing that gratitude and giving it back in order to be enriched. And that's why, my friends, I need you to respond to our annual appeal, including those of you who join us regularly online, who feel very much part of our parish community, to make, if you will, your own free will offering. And St. Paul says to you and to me, as he said to the Corinthian church, "Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." My friends, giving to our annual appeal is exactly in the same spirit of those examples we heard in Scripture today, recognizing, like King David, that all things come from thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.